Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Finish up projects with GE-branded silicone sealants. Tub and tile silicone is 100% waterproof and offers same-day water readiness, making it perfect to use in kitchens and bathrooms. Shop our selection of GE sealants in-store and on Menards.com and save big. Plus, check out the weekly flyer to view all of our other great deals happening this week. Save big money at Menards.
Think of a song you really love.
Don't you want to know why you love it so much?
Well, we can't answer that.
No, but we can deep dive into it anyway.
Unless we get too sidetracked.
We're the Never Mind the Music podcast.
One musician.
And one psychologist.
Talking about iconic songs. The musical tricks that blow our minds.
And what they show us about our minds.
Join us each week as we pick apart everything from TLC to Weezer.
And from Billie Eilish to Bruno Mars, with plenty of distractions in between.
Check out Never Mind the Music wherever you get your podcasts.
Today I have my good friend Jason Pitts with me. I just also want to point this out too. Anastasia can't make it because of the fact that she's actually filming right now. She had to go through a couple of reshoots and things like that, so she's not going to be able to make it, but she'll be back again next Sunday for our finale review for that. I know that Jason's not going to be able to make it or anything, but I'm thinking about doing like a special episode with him and I together, where he can get his thoughts out as well, because I want you guys to get Jason's thoughts out as too. So we'll probably do that. What do you think, Jason?
Yeah, I'll be down for that for sure. Sorry, I can't make the last one. Going on a cruise, but it sucks that it's the finale.
Right.
Yeah, but we can do a standalone episode with just you and me. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, we can definitely do that. I can definitely work that out. So Touched by an Angel is the name of this episode. And so we actually get that intense moment in the restaurant between Leon and Dexter. Leon trying to find out information from Harrison about where he works and his last name. Why is it different? The way Leon threatens people, he comes off as friendly, but is also really not. And we mentioned that like last episode, remember, Jason, where I said, okay, well, maybe he's not being that threatening with it because the way that he's actually doing it. And then you see him do it not once, but twice in this episode. I'm like, okay, this guy is really threatening people and throwing his weight around. You know, he's a rich guy and he knows that he can get in over people because he has leverage over them, which makes him even more dangerous because he could actually cut off, like if you have like a sick child, for example, he can pretty much cut off the life support system for that. Same thing with Charlie's mom. We'll get into that later. But I just thought the restaurant scene was very intense. I thought it was a very neat moment of everything coming together and crashing around Dexter. And he has that same look on his face when Trinity came in into that office in one of the seasons of Dexter, of the original Dexter show. So tell me what you think.
Yeah, I mean, when he saw Leon come in, it was definitely like an oh crap moment. You can definitely feel the tension immediately rise. And then just him trying, I thank goodness that Harrison didn't say, like, why is he calling you red? Like right there at the table.
Me too, because that was my first initial thought.
I thought he was going to. Yeah.
Me too, because you know how scared Harrison can be where he just rambles and he doesn't realize what he's saying. So I was thinking that same thing, but I like how the confrontation, he goes, Dexter's all being friendly to Leon, just as Leon is also being friendly to him. He's like, hey, Leon, let's go outside for a minute. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I also think that Harrison was more like starstruck because he knew who Leon was.
Right.
And was like, oh, wow, you're like an idol of mine.
Right. And he actually mentions the fact that, you know, he asked him, well, how did you and Dad meet and stuff? And he's like, oh, your dad. And that's when Dexter winds up saying, well, I gave Leon a ride, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Then you have this whole entire thing going on outside. And Leon is basically telling Dexter, he's like, does your son even know who you are? Does he even, and he goes, well, what do you think? Does he know who I am? And he's like, I don't know, Red. You're as mystery as anything else. He goes, it's not me that doesn't trust me, trust you. It's Charlie that doesn't trust you. So he throws her under the bus.
Right, right.
To make him look like that he's not doing anything at all. And it's all Charlie's idea. When really it's his idea to and stuff like that, because he gave her the go-ahead to do it.
Yeah. And Charlie even says later on, like, I don't do anything that Leon doesn't tell me to do.
Right, but exactly.
He definitely uses her as a scapegoat a lot. Like, oh, it's not me, it's her.
Exactly. It's like, it's absolutely not me, it's her. It's her idea. She's right. The one who wanted to do this. I wanted to hold her back and say, no, I trust Red, but she wanted to proceed with it. So she went ahead and did this. So Charlie's all happy. Then you also have somebody else that's taking pictures of Leon and Dexter outside the restaurant. And of course, we already speculate about who it is, because it's Batista. He just can't let the stuff go. So then after that, Dexter goes back inside after they leave. And I like how the waitress goes, hey, Leon bought a fancy bottle of dessert wine. It's very expensive. And he also took care of the bill. And he goes, that's nice. I don't care. I don't need the dessert wine. Let's go. He winds up telling Dexter, you're part of my world, which meaning that Dexter is now Leon's property, which is also basically his trophy. And then you also have Harrison out of the restaurant, like I mentioned. Into the Fire is the name of the song. And it's actually a perfect song if you think about it. It deals with anxiety and being all over the place, which is what Dexter is feeling. And I also like this one room shot camera angle of Dexter and Harrison going through the kitchen area. Mm-hmm. Of this, and the camera's following them. I just thought that was a pretty cool moment for that. And then tracking Dexter, taking pics of Dexter and Leon, and follow Dex and Harrison to the subway. Harrison is afraid that he will be killed like his mom. Batista loses Dexter in the subway. So what did you think of that whole setup where you have Batista following Dexter and Harrison, and Harrison having that moment of like, look, am I going to die just like my mom did? Or what's going to happen? He goes, no, I'll have this thing settled and everything by dinner. That's basically what he's trying to tell him. He goes, well, isn't that out of your control? He's like, no. He goes, I'll take care of it. But what did you think of this moment?
I think it's a little presumptuous of Dexter to think he could have it taken care of. I think he's lying a little bit to himself and to Harrison there, just trying to make Harrison feel better. I mean, he can't, there's no way he can control Leon without like killing him. Leon's his own animal. He has tons of resources. Dexter is making promises there that I don't think he believes he can keep. He's just saying to make Harrison feel better. And with Angel, I think it's just showing how obsessive he has become. You know, just how mad he gets when he loses him. And it's just like, what are you going to do when you catch him? Like when you like you follow him, it's like, what are you going to do?
Exactly. Do you have handcuffs to be able to take him in?
No.
And you cannot really make a public arrest in front of other people either.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because that also causes attention on him and also the NYPD as well. And you don't really have nothing to go on. You don't have a body from last week's episode. You don't have anything other than speculation. Mm-hmm. All you know is that you've seen him hang out with Leon. He doesn't have anything really, any proof of anything. He just has speculations.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree with you on this, though, too, about him lying to Harrison. Every father does this, where they just want to comfort their son. It's like, look,
it'll be okay.
Things will be okay. It's going to work out. I'll take care of Leon and things will be fine. But at the same time, though, you know,
he's scared.
Yeah. Dexter's scared, but he's trying not to show that he's scared. But he's also seeing a little bit of history repeating, I think, too, because it's similar to Rita dying. Mm-hmm. And that's also where Harrison is also being scared as well with this. And he has every right to be scared because he doesn't want to die. He's young. He still has his life ahead of him and stuff like that. And then, you know, Dexter winds up telling him, hey, look, this is how Leon and I came together with this. Because remember, whenever he tells him before he goes into the subway system, he tells him, well, Leon has this serial killer party. And he goes, well, and I ended up killing the dark passenger. And that's how I became him and took his persona, because I wanted to know what this like-minded
is all about. Yeah.
Right. So, and then he also tells him about the Gemini killers and how it was only not just one, but twins. And Harrison is kind of like struck back. It's like, wow, my dad took care of not one, but three serial killers.
Yeah.
So that was pretty neat. But then you also have Harrison going back to his job after everything went down. And Harrison declines the catering job for $40 an hour after he finds out that Leon is actually doing the gala for the Police Officers Foundation and stuff like that. And he says, no, I can't do that. And you can definitely tell how tense he is with that because of the encounter that they just got done about 20, maybe 30 minutes ago.
Yeah, he doesn't
and
want
now to do with him. Right, exactly. And I don't blame him. I really don't because he's, number one, Leon's rich. Number two, he can get him killed anytime he wanted to. Mm-hmm. And then you have Charlie who ends up ordering, you know, room service and requires Harrison to come up there to see her. And, you know, and then Stefan said, hey, look, this, you got a request. He goes on ahead, goes in the elevator and he goes up to the room and it's Charlie. He doesn't know that it's Charlie because he doesn't know who she is up until she takes out her gun on the table and explains that she works for Leon. And then she wants to know why his last name is not Schmidt. And why? And of course, he's lying a little bit to her.
Yeah,
about that. But what did you think the whole entire encounter?
It showed how quick thinking Harrison has because yes, he technically was lying, but the lie was hidden in the truth. And later on, Dexter's just like, no, you did the right thing. Like some of the best lies wrapped in truth are great, you know. And like he told her the truth, but you know, it was a lie.
Right, it was like a half truth thing.
Yeah, half truth, half lie thing. Yeah.
And Dexter's like, hey, that's perfect.
Yeah. Yeah. And so being able to think of that on his quick on his feet, that way he could come across authentic because he was talking about real things that he felt towards his dad. He just, you know, wrapped that into a little bit of a lie about the last name. But everything else was authentic and was true. And so I think Charlie bought a lot of that because of how authentic it was.
Right, because remember, go ahead.
I was just going to say, so that on that end, it shows how quick Harrison can be on his feet. Charlie can be scary, man. I was scared for Harrison. I didn't know how that was going to go because I could see her becoming obsessed, kind of like Angel is with Dexter, or Red. It's like this person is not telling us who, like. We're not seeing what this person is.
Right.
Yeah.
Because at first I was thinking maybe that she might actually follow Harrison, which she does. But I thought maybe even after that encounter that she would wind up following him still. But she believed the lie because of the fact, like you said, it was so authentic to the truth that he had to bend a few things. Like, for instance, he's like, well, she's like, well, how did you and Red reconnect? He goes, oh, I've tracked him down all the way to New York. So therefore you're sourceful. And he goes, not exactly. I got a letter from him, and that's how I tracked him down to New York. And I also took my mom's last name, which is Morgan, and that's it. And she's like, oh, okay. And then she also winds up taking the gun out and lays it on the table. And then she also makes him touch all the dinnerware and stuff like that for like how room service normally goes, pour the orange juice. And sometimes I like to have a little bit of brunch before I go anywhere.
Yeah.
So, I really felt scared for him. I would actually piss my pants. I don't think I would have kept it together like Harrison did. Mm-hmm. But I do like the phone call between Dexter and them flashing back into that moment of everything. Just as we don't know what happened with Harrison. And we're also in that whole entire thing of like what really happened. And then they show us, you know.
Yeah.
So I just thought it was good. I just thought that was a little thing that I thought that was really good.
Yeah, it was good to raise the stakes and create some tension and some suspense. It was good. And then we find out that, you know, she dusted for fingerprints.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll get into that too. And then of course then it goes into Dexter going to Blessing to ask him for a pick up Harrison after his shift. Blessing and Dexter makes up and he does pick up Harrison. And I like how he goes, you're a blabbermouth. And he goes, well, I might have let something slip because of the needles that your daughter put inside of me. Mm-hmm. And that's what caused me to be a little bit more truthful. He goes, I am sorry. That is my bad. And then Blessing, instead of, and I like how Dexter's expecting a handshake, but instead Blessing winds up just hugging him.
Yeah.
So I love that connection between him and Blessing like that. Like he's part of the family still.
Yeah, it's cute for sure.
But then Dexter goes to Charlie's house, and this is where he finds out that she's a war veteran. She collected fingerprints off Harrison's glass from the hotel. Dexter discovers that Charlie's mother is sick all this time and assumed that she, and this is it. We thought she was in a hospital bed. We thought she was in, you know what I'm saying, in a real hospital, but instead it's over at the house. And I like how the background is there to fool us as the audience, because we actually see the background looking like a hospital, the way the bed is laid out. But it's really her house. But it makes sense because of Leon's flipping the bill for it. So why would he have her in the hospital whenever he needs Charlie on call 24/7?
Yeah. Yeah. Having her at her house is, it's very cool.
And then you have the thing between Harry and Dexter. He goes, she dusted his fingerprints, Dexter. And he goes, yeah, but it's going to lead into a dead end. He doesn't have a driver's license. He doesn't have any background. But yet,
go for a long time.
Right. But also, too, the police department found files on Harrison.
Mm-hmm.
So him thinking that they don't she can't get any information out on him.
Yeah.
And Leon also has ties to the police station. So he can get that file off of whoever has that file. Absolutely. If he really needed it.
Yeah.
But then after that, you have Dexter threatening Charlie and finds out that Leon was the one that gave the okay to find out about Harrison. Dexter threatens Charlie, if she threatens Harrison again, that he would kill her. Leon uses people's weaknesses against them for leverage. So I like this moment where, and it's just like season one Dexter, right? Because if you remember the opening scene, he actually does have the piano wire and he's in the back of someone's car.
Mm-hmm.
He's talking to that person because he ended up killing these young kids, and he's supposed to be a priest, I think, in season one. And it's a callback to that, but he's using that element to make a threat to Charlie. If you F with my family again, I'm going to kill you for doing this.
Yeah.
And I just thought this was really horrifying, intense. And then I also like how Charlie says he uses people as leverage. He gets any kind of weakness off of somebody. And he goes, mine is my mother. Clearly, yours is your son.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a very that's one of my favorite scenes in the season so far, honestly. It was super intense. Dexter was pissed. We got to see him in full Dexter mode. In broad daylight, yeah. And then just seeing the wire cut further into her neck. I really, really liked that scene a lot.
Me too, because it's like, okay, I'm going to leave a mark here to show you how serious I am, and I'm not fucking around. If you mess with my family, you're going to die. And then, you know, he hurries up and leaves out of the car, and then after that, it goes in the next scene. But then you have Detective Wallace and Detective Melvin looking at the New York Ripper weapon and realizing that Dexter is right about the manhole cover weapon. And I like the back and forth between them two. For the first time, we actually see a little bit of joking between the two of them. That I thought was really, really liked this bit between the two of them, you know, because it's like, so finding this weapon is going to be like a needle in a, and she looks at him in a haystack. He goes, yeah. And you can definitely tell those two are actually liking how Dexter pretty much put that together. Mm-hmm. And how hard it's going to be for them to be able to find that weapon, because everyone in that city pretty much uses that in different departments within the city itself.
Has access to it, yeah.
Perks and Rec, he goes, oh, I like that show.
That's a good show.
But what did you think? Did you like this whole entire chemistry between the two of them? This little,
Yeah, I liked it. It was fun to watch. I still think that the partner's role is almost pointless.
Because he's not really there. He's just there for some comedic stuff.
It leads me to that. Like, there's so much left that is unanswered. Like, I'm wondering how they're going to wrap everything up in one episode, unless they leave some lingering questions for the next season. New York Ripper. It's like, is that going to be resolved this season or not?
I don't think that's going to be resolved this season. I think Leon is the big bad now. Because at first I'm like, okay, maybe he'll go in and kill Leon in episode 9 or something, mm-hmm. you know? And I was thinking, okay, well, that's not going to be the big bad. The big bad at the end of the season is going to be the cliffhanger of the New York City Ripper.
I also think that Al could come back too. Like Al's kind of hanging there. I think it's very possible we'll see him come back in the next episode and have that be wrapped up too.
Right, because I think Al is the one who – I still say Al is the one who gave Leon a call and say, hey, look, there's something strange going on with Red. He keeps on calling me. I know that we had plans to meet up, but he keeps on forcing his way into wanting to meet up with me, and it's just very creepy.
Or maybe he called Charlie.
Well, I know that he said he talked to Leon, though.
Yeah, he did, yeah.
So that's what made me speculate that maybe that's how he became even more – aware of what's really going on, if people are disappearing around Red and also around this dinner that they've been having, made me think that, you know. Then you have Batista who walks in to the PD upon Wallace's request. He wanted to get Leon's license number. Detective Wallace tells him to pack his things and leave New York, or else she will arrest him for impersonating an officer, which I mentioned, which is also a federal crime, which is also... you know what, though? I think that she should have went on ahead and escorted him out of New York. That way she knew that he was going to leave.
Yeah.
Because if he hadn't, here's the thing. If this guy is coming in over 3 or 4 weeks with new stuff on Dexter and the speculation, you already know this man can't let it go. And I know you're trying to give this guy the benefit of the doubt, but you need to escort his ass out of the city if this is the case. Yeah. What do you think?
I think escorting him out is a little, I mean, I can see your point. But, I mean, they have other stuff to do. It's just tell them to leave. I can see just telling them to leave and being like, if you hang around, we're going to arrest you. Just leave, you know, go. I think a full escort or whatever out of the city is a
little... just like one police officer, one police car, you know what I mean?
Yeah, they could probably,
something small, but I get it. It's New York City. It's not like a small-ass town where it's like Charming in Sons of Anarchy where you can actually escort somebody out of the city.
And then on his way out, he sees the gala poster and he sees Leon on it. And he's like, oh, that's the guy.
Because that's the guy. And you know what, though? I thought at first, whenever he was going to go in there, I thought he was going to try and sneak into one of the offices and get into one of the computers if he could and try to look for a license plate number or something. But, you know, they also take his badge, which I thought they would actually do whenever you retire. Yeah. They also take and then after that, it's like, Batista has nothing, and he's, I think that little thing of him just looking around the police station is like, this is who I used to be, and now I'm out of the
school. It felt really sad, like, everything that he held dear is, like, gone. It felt really, really sad.
And then even when Wallace and Melvin are over there talking to him, and he's like, well, we talked to Quinn, and we also talked to Dexter. Oh, you talked to Dexter? What did he say? He's like, well, you were really saddened by LaGreta dying. And Doak's dying, that it affected you and your job. He goes, that's not true. Well, your ex-wife and partner, she didn't die? Yeah, that's true. She did die. And then what about Doak's?
Yeah, it definitely made him look unhinged. Yeah. And then he's like, this is what he does. He twists things around.
I know it's not supposed to be funny, but the way that it's delivered and stuff like that, it's like nobody believes him or anything.
His story in this season is...
Save big money on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Menards has a huge selection of concrete and mortar mixes. Our concrete products are great for a variety of applications, including pouring a walkway, setting a post, or even installing stone veneer. View our entire selection of concrete mixes and supplies in-store and on Menards.com. Plus, check out the weekly flyer for more great deals happening this week. Save big money
at Menards. Such a tragedy. So sad.
It really is.
Yeah.
Then Dexter thought it was Charlie in his apartment, but it was really Harrison and Gigi.
Yeah, that's funny.
So my thing is this, everybody inside the Dexter group that I'm in, like, I think they're like, maybe that's Gigi and maybe that's Charlie's daughter. I'm like, no, it's not.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. And
because you don't see one picture of Gigi in that house. Mm-hmm. Two, you hear a woman's voice. And Charlie's the only one that Dexter knows within the city. and you're hearing a bunch of clattering, yeah, you're going to end up expecting it to find out if somebody broke in or not. That's mm-hmm. your first initial thought. You're not expecting it to be Harrison and Gigi.
Trying not to only get that, but Harrison met, like, it was completely random, like going to a college and just meeting her, giving a tour. Like, there is absolutely nothing that links her and Charlie at all. No. Like, her being Charlie's daughter makes absolutely no sense. Like, there's no, them meeting her was completely random. There was nothing set up about it.
No. Yeah. And by now, like I said, you would see pictures inside the house. You would see that she has some ties to her daughter, but she doesn't. The only person she cares about is her mother, who has cancer, and Leon's taking care of her.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
I think this is a little bit of a prediction, but I think Gigi's purpose in the overall story is to be a really likable love interest for Harrison. That I think that when Al comes back, I think Gigi's going to be a victim of his, and it's going to piss Harrison off.
Okay, let's play around with that for a minute, because now you got my wheel spinning a little bit.
Yeah.
Let's say, for instance, that I can see this. What if Dexter's not able to get Leon on the table or Charlie on the table this season? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to get into this in a few minutes, where basically Leon wants to have Dexter. And I also speculated this, remember? Having a serial killer for hire to take on other serial killers. So you're going to end up doing this for Dexter to take down other serial killers. What makes you think that he won't try and do this with Al and try to take down anyone that's tied to Dexter?
Yeah.
So that's actually a good prediction, though, to be honest with you, because it does make sense because of the fact that, you know, Leon wants to do this whole entire serial killer for hire. He hires Al. Al goes on ahead and tries to kill Dexter.
Mm-hmm.
So now we actually have Leon. He wants to see Charlie's scar that Dex left on her neck. He thinks it's a message saying that Leon's still in charge. I'm like, no, you're not. You're so in yourself that you think that you're in control. It's about, don't fuck with me or else I'm going to come after you.
Charlie's like, I could have died.
Exactly.
He's like, this is amazing.
This is amazing. Let me see your scar.
He's so.
And she's looking at him like, what the hell?
I kind of feel like it's possible for Charlie to help Dexter at some point against Leon.
That's a good speculation, because other people are actually saying that too, that there's a chance that maybe Charlie might go ahead and do it, because remember, he doesn't like serial killers at all, because she said they're all sick fucks.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
but a serial killer who kills serial killers, she might like.
She might bend that.
At least tolerate.
Right, exactly. So that's a good speculation, because of the fact that it's a serial killer killing other serial killers. So therefore, maybe she might be able to team up to help kill Leon and set it up, which may not even put, he may not even put Charlie on that table if she does that.
I don't think he would. Yeah, Charlie doesn't fit the code.
In a way, she does, and in a way, she doesn't. Like, if she doesn't help Dexter, and because she sets up all these serial killer meetings and stuff like that, and also finds out different things about the serial killers, and also threatens Harrison with her gun, you know, I can see him putting her on the table. But if he forgives her and if they team up, I see that saying him, okay, well, I forgive you for doing what you did. And you're under the influence of Leon, and he has his hooks in you, so I'll forgive you on this. So I can see that. And then Leon threatens Charlie with and he just randomly does it. Like, he randomly does this stuff, right? He goes, so how's your mother doing? How's the treatment going?
I think it's when he starts to suspect he's losing control of, like, he'll just throw that out there as a reminder. Hey, you know, I'm still in control.
Exactly. That's what I'm getting out of it, though, too. Is like, look, I have to restore the balance and show people that I'm in control of this, and they're not. And they're nothing but pawns. And I'm going to use them any type of way I can to make that resourceful for me. And then, you know, and then all of a sudden now it goes into Charlie and Batista. Batista goes over to Leon's place and goes, I got to tell Mr. Prater that he's in danger. He's in danger. And the guards just don't believe him or anything until Charlie winds up putting a kung fu move on him. And she goes, okay, tell me why he's in danger. Then he runs off at the mouth and says that Dexter's the Bay Harbor Butcher. So what do you think of that setup?
I mean, it makes sense. You know, he struck out at the NYPD and the detective. Like, they told him to take a hike. You know, Leon was, after seeing who he was and figuring that out, it was really his only move to go there. So, you know, Charlie, we got to see a little bit of Charlie's expertise, which was cool. Like, it's funny because Batista beats the crap out of these three guys, and then this girl comes and beats, you know, stops him, and you can see the look on his face. He was like, damn.
Right? It's like, okay, Brenda cops, move out of my way. And then next thing you know it, special ops Charlie comes into play, and then he's like, okay, I screwed up.
Yeah.
You got but he's also telling the wrong people. And here's another thing, though, too, Jason. He's actually telling this to the wrong people, and he doesn't even know it. And that's the tragic thing about
that. He thinks he's saving him or trying to save him.
No. But we also know as viewers that, you know, this guy is not as innocent as he makes it out to be.
Mm-hmm.
And he should also be wary of, like, okay, why would a billionaire want to hang out with Dexter, who's used to be part of Miami Metro, who hunts down serial killers?
Yeah.
And he should also be like...
Another thing that never even crossed his mind is, like, he is the expert on the Bay Harbor Butcher. He knows who the Bay Harbor Butcher goes after. If he's seeing Dexter talking to Leon, he should know that there's something dirty about Leon.
Right.
Like, if he thinks Dexter's after Leon, he should know that this guy is not a good guy. Right?
Exactly.
Because that's who the Bay Harbor Butcher targets. So,
but I think it's also to the thing, too, though, that he's blinded by revenge, but not only is he blinded by revenge, but he's also blinded because of the fact that he sees the gala poster and he's also thinking, oh, he's here for the cops who are about donations and stuff like that. Right. Mm-hmm. So he's thinking that he's there for the basically to help cops out and do this for people that are hurt in the line of duty. So he's also thinking along those lines of, this guy is a good guy because he's doing something noble like this.
Yeah, but he should know better.
Like, I agree.
He knows who the Bay Harbor Butcher is. He knows what they're all about. If he sees the Bay Harbor Butcher and Dexter targeting this guy, he should know that this guy is not a good guy.
No. And then also, too, I need to also mention this as well, because remember, after Leon winds up trying to see Charlie's scars, he gets a call from Dexter.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, look, when can I meet you? And then I like how the inner monologue is, because night on my table, that would be great.
Yeah.
And he pops out the little knife that he has, and Leon says, well, look, I can set something up for tomorrow afternoon. And he goes, well, I'd like for Charlie not to be there. I don't really trust her the way I trust you. So he's still trying to gain his trust enough to be by himself. And then after that, this is also when his plan doesn't even work because of Batista.
Yeah.
So it would have worked if it wasn't for Batista.
Well, we don't know that for sure, but he definitely would have got it closer.
Right. And then finally, we're getting into this whole entire thing where he puts the fingerprint again, and he goes into Leon's house, and then we wind up us. And then Leon's like, look, come over here. Let's go into my vault. It's more private because of everything that's going on for the gala. So then he goes on ahead, brings him into the vault, and goes, so you're the Bay Harbor. And it goes into the whole entire thing of the Bay Harbor Butcher thing. And I said he's going to be geeked out at the fact that this is like his Moby Dick.
Yes. Yeah. He was so excited.
He was like, Bay Harbor Butcher. Bay Harbor Butcher. Oh, I'm getting goosebumps. And so he goes over to the vault, and he winds up going over and goes, I should have known it was you because of how close you were looking at all the other trophies and you were looking at the blood slides. And he goes, I'll tell you what, I'll make a deal with you. And at this point, we already see that Batista's already laid out on the table. from season one with the, well, it's like a bed that goes back. I don't know what it's called, but you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
But then he's like, all you have to do is kill Batista. And I have a whole slew of the people that you can kill.
From all over the world. Dinners.
So you're going to be like a serial killer for hire. We'll do this whole entire party thing. You do your thing. And Dexter's looking around. He grabs the knife. Charlie's pointing the gun at him. And then at this point, Leon's like, tells Charlie to lower the gun because he actually trusts Dexter still, even though he lied about who he said he was and stuff. But if he wound up killing Batista in front of him, I think he would have actually trusted him a lot more. But I like how he said, well, Batista and I, we were partners. And this is his inner self talking. Mm-hmm. And he goes, it could work again. And then he winds up cutting Batista loose. And this is what I told my wife. He's so blinded by vengeance for Dexter that he doesn't see the big picture still.
Yeah,
strapped you down.
Yes.
And put you on that table for Dexter to kill you like a slot, like a cow being ready to be murdered. And
Dexter didn't kill you.
Right. Come on. Yeah. There's two on two. Batista outweighs Charlie. Dexter could go on ahead and pretty much get Leon.
Yeah. Angel screwed and, up.
And that's it.
Yeah.
But no, he winds up taking Dexter by the throat and starts strangling him. And then he winds up, then after that, Leon winds up shooting him like four or five times.
Yeah.
Then Charlie and them hurries up and then Dexter throws a little hatchet. Then it knocks the gun out of Charlie's hand. He gets the gun and then he tries shooting at them. But also, too, I like how Leon tries to get one more shot in before the gun is actually dropped. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't even hit Dexter at all. But then he locks him in the vault.
Huh? It hit a vase or something, right?
Yeah, it hit one of the serial killer's vases.
Mm-hmm.
But and then after that, he locks him in the vault and it's like, bye. Mm-hmm. And then it's just Dexter and Batista together.
Yeah.
He goes, look, I did not kill LaGreta. I did not kill Dokes.
Mm-hmm.
And
like, they died because of you. And now I'm dying. And it's your because fault. Because of you. Yeah.
Whenever it's really his fault.
Yeah, yeah. But
Dexter, he didn't tell Morgan, him to come to New York.
Dexter Morgan, fuck you.
Fuck you, Dexter Morgan.
Last words, man. Ugh.
That's going to eat at Dexter for a while.
I think it will, too. I think he'll have problems with it.
Because even in the prequel series, you can see the closeness that Batista and him have for each other. Mm-hmm. And the brotherhood that they had set up and established within all the other seasons, too.
Mm-hmm.
It was sad to see Batista go. My mouth fell open.
I mean, it was sad to see him get so obsessed, and like this whole season was just like very, very sad. It's a tragedy for Batista. He just threw everything away
just to try and hunt down one person.
Yeah,
that
and,
you're
and
having.
Dexter even told him in the car. He says, "This is not going to end well for you. Go home."
No. Everybody told him to go home. You have Detective Wallace. You also have Melvin that tells him to go home. You have Dexter that tells him to go home. He's way in over his head, and yet you're not listening to the facts. And now the outcome is you dying. And like I said, either he was going to die by the hand of Dexter, or he was going to die by the hand of somebody else. Mm-hmm. So it was Leon. So it's just a tragic ending.
Oh, well. I like Batista a lot. He was a cool character.
He was one of my favorite characters from Miami Metro, aside from Asuka. Yeah. But it was like, well, we only have two characters left from the legacy characters. And legacy characters to me is Quinn and Masuka, even though Quinn came in a little later. But he can, I would count him as a legacy character, even though he didn't. But
I think pretty much anybody from the original series is a legacy character.
Yeah. But I don't see Masuka going to New York to look for.
No.
To look for Batista.
He might. I doubt it, though.
Right. I don't see Quinn going.
No.
So now let's go into predictions for this.
Okay.
So my prediction is this. I think, and I saw a little bit of the promo for episode 9. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you watched the promos or anything.
I never watched the promos.
This is my first time watching a promo, but basically what winds up happening is he winds up calling Harrison. Harrison does take the catering job.
to get him out of the
vault? I don't know. I don't know why he took the, I don't know why Harrison took the catering job. Unless
does he have his phone in the vault?
No, that's another thing.
In the vault, right?
Right, but you know what though? Batista probably still had his phone.
Oh yeah, you're right.
So I'm thinking that Dexter calls Harrison from his phone, tells him, "Hey, look, I'm locked in Leon's vault. I need you to come and get me out."
Mm-hmm.
And which also forces Harrison to have to work that shift that he does not want to work. Also puts Harrison in danger.
In danger,
by the way.
Mm-hmm.
In harm's way to try and get his dad out. When really, all he has to do is call Wallace and Melvin and say, "Hey, look, my dad's been kidnapped by Leon Prodder." Even though they may not believe him, it's a long stretch.
Yeah.
But then they're going to be wondering, well, why did...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that would open up a whole can of worms. I don't think that's an option.
Right. So he puts his own son in danger to work this shift that he doesn't want to work.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking that somehow or another, maybe Charlie winds up joining Dexter's.
Does Dexter know about the job offer?
No, he doesn't. But my point is...
Yeah, I think he probably will call and tell him that he's locked in. And then I think it'll be Harrison's idea there.
Right, because here's the thing. That's what I'm trying to get at is, like, Dexter goes on and gives him a call. But I think now Harrison has to really think about it. Like, okay, I have to go ahead and, you know, work the shift that I don't even want to work. But I have to work it now because my dad is now kidnapped and locked in this vault.
Mm-hmm.
And now I have to figure out a way to get him out. But how do you get someone out of a big-ass vault like that?
I don't know.
But that's just me doing a little bit of fan theory on that. But I think you're
probably right. That makes sense.
But what else do you would you say your theory would be?
Well, I don't know how he's gonna get out of the vault. I mean, I think that's a really good guess, a really good theory. I'm not sure. I feel like that before they would tie Batista up to the table, they would probably take his phone and stuff, but it would
that's what I thought.
We didn't see it happen, so it makes sense that he probably does still have a phone. And that is just like a convenient thing for Dexter to find. That makes sense. I think that's a possibility. I also think that it could have something to do with the gun dropping. Something about the gun might help Dexter escape because they made it a point to really show that gun dropped. Maybe something to do with the glass that broke when Leon shot the extra shot. I don't know. I feel like that there's something there that Dexter can orchestrate to get out of the vault if the phone call theory doesn't pan out.
Right.
I do think that Al is going to come back into it somehow in this next episode. I don't think any of the original serial killers make it to the next season. So I think Al can... I think Al has to come back.
For me, I think Al will come back probably season 2.
Think so?
Yeah, because look how long it takes him to get from one city to the other. You know what I'm saying? He has to drive.
Who said he really left, though? We just saw him driving.
Right. That's true.
Yeah.
So that could be another possibility. Because Leon could probably wind up telling him to hold tight. Because we don't know for sure.
Yeah, we don't know. We don't know. But yeah, those are my two predictions.
Okay. Well, also too, he can also use the piece of the vase to kill somebody as they enter the room as well. So, you know, a lot of possibilities. We don't know yet. But what do you guys think? What do you guys think? Is he going to break out of the vault? Is Harris going to help him break out of the vault? Is she still wanting to be on Leon's side, or is she wanting to be on Dexter's side? You decide. Tell us what you think in the comments. Tell me what you guys think.
Maybe Harrison coming to the gala and talking to Charlie, like her seeing Harrison being willing to sacrifice himself for his dad. Like maybe that will soften her heart and help Charlie get Dexter out of the vault.
I do think Harrison gets caught by Charlie.
Yeah.
And maybe they have like a one-on-one talk between the two of them. And maybe that one-on-one talk reflects back on trying to get his dad out of the vault, maybe.
Mm-hmm. I really think there's a high possibility that Charlie helps Dexter.
Well, we'll have to see for next Friday's episode. Guys, don't forget to like, subscribe, and all that other good stuff over at Movie Lovers Tonight. Go ahead and leave me a 5-star review if you find it deemable for that review. Also, too, don't forget to check out Jason's Pitts movie. It just got dropped on Tubi. And Jason, go ahead and give them that title.
Yeah, The Forest Through the Trees. It's on Tubi. It's on Amazon. It's on Hoopla. It's on all kinds of platforms. Fandango at home. Tons of stuff. Roku. We also have a store on www.lucidlakepictures.com. We have a store that's up. You can buy shirts. You can buy coffee cups, even baby onesies with demon cult stuff on it. So a lot of fun.
So get your demon cult stuff today.
Yeah.
So here we go. So I actually have my good friend, and we're going to be having Josh Prey back on again on September 10th for Who Asked for This. Going to be about who asked for a Speed 2 when Speed 1 was so good? Why do we have to have this sequel or this prequel or this spinoff movie? So that's going to be what the main theme is for that. And then I'll have my good friend Zoe coming in. We're going to be talking about Rookie of the Year. And yeah, guys, thank you so much for listening and watching these reviews. We do appreciate it. Go on ahead, check out Anastasia's page, everything in the Wheelian links below. And yeah, have a great and safe trip, Jason. I do appreciate you coming on for all 9 of these episodes. I do appreciate it.
Thank you.
Very welcome. All right, guys. Later. This bye.
Is the Dexter resurrection. Justice will serve. Cold welcome to the show.
Saving money on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Menards has a huge selection of concrete and mortar mixes. Our concrete products are great for a variety of applications, including pouring a walkway, setting a post, or even installing stone veneer. View our entire selection of concrete mixes and supplies in-store and on Menards.com. Plus, check out the weekly flyer for more great deals happening this week. Save.